What does it mean to worship? Pastor Tim asks that question and also asks us to examine ourselves and maybe determine what it is we worship with our lives and our priorities. Thank you for joining us.
Well, through the years, I have seen many things pertaining to the Lord in other people's lives, and even in my own life, but especially in the area of worship. You know, how do we worship? You know, throughout the Bible, we find these different moments as Moses, a sister, began to dance and sing because God did deliver them from the Egyptians, and she began to sing a song. And or maybe it was when a David, he would write a new song to the Lord. Maybe a thanksgiving hymn or a praise hymn or a hymn of just a solitude. You know, we see these things like Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. We see how good it was. And Peter says, why don't we just stay here? It's just so good. Let's just stay here. Just make some tents and just stay here because it's just so good to be in God's presence. We worship as a Christian people. We worship. Will you agree with that?
Amen.
We'll see y'all away. You know, now I've heard these things. Says she worships the ground he walks on. I hear that a lot. You know, I do. You know, for other people said, how do you just worship the ground you walk on, doesn't she? I said,
Yeah.
It sure does. And I've heard those things throughout your life. You know, we say, boy, he just worships this, or really worships that. You know, I've seen where, he worships a baseball, or she worships the way she looks. You know, we say these things as terminology finds our way in our daily lives. We'll say things more, he really worships that, or she really worships that. And so we use that word a lot. You know, throughout our lives, when we're trying to describe something that somebody really likes, you know, as I hear that a lot. You know, that a worship, or some form of worship in the Bible is mentioned over 9,000 times. That's a bunch, isn't it? That's a whole lot. And I would think if it's mentioned that many times in some type of form, it's probably pretty important. Would you agree with that? I would agree with that. Thank you for the five that really does agree with that. But Gordon, Sister Gail, I just saw you. It's good to have y'all here. But Gordon and Gail was part of our church for I don't know how many years, and they moved to Alabama. I'm still upset about it. And but we're glad you're here. I saw you sitting there. And but I believe that worship is really who we are, down deep who we are in Jesus Christ. And so I want us to talk about it a little bit today, if we will. Let's turn to Mark 11, 1 through 11. I told the singers, I said, I'm not going to try to preach very long and try to get, you know, I don't mean this way it sounds to get us out of here, but it's important for us to do what the Holy Spirit leads us to do. But a lot of us has to be back at a certain time. And so don't hold your breath. We might get out at the same time. I don't know. We'll see. But let's read God's word. When they were approaching Jerusalem at some word I can't say, and at Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find that a tie there, a colt that has never been ridden. You untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Just say this. The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately. They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, what are you doing, untying the colt? Jesus told them what Jesus. They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and some others, they spread leafy branches that they cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who were followed were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest. And then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. God bless his word today. And I'm going to cough. Y'all pray for me today. I've been dealing with it, all these seasonal stuff going around. And so y'all pray for me. We find Jesus here. He was riding on a colt. The people responded to him in praise and worship. Will you agree with that? Yeah. They responded to this. Something moved in them to make them begin to praise the Lord or to begin a worship of the Lord. You know, there's something about worship. It moves us sometimes to do things we would not otherwise do. Sometimes when we worship something to a degree that it leads us to do things that we otherwise would not do. They begin to take their coats off. They begin to throw them down or branches so Jesus could ride on them. These were the people that seemed to have a deep worship of the Lord. But we find later that maybe some of these same people begin to shout, crucify him in the same week. So we find it in, I'm sorry, y'all. We find it easy to offer a praise, but maybe not so for worship. This triumphal ride into Jerusalem was a wonderful and festive time. I don't want to take any away from it, but was it worship? But was it worship? The Hebrew and Greek are pretty clear. They kind of agree with one another on the word of worship. It's to worship something means that it's a kneeling must come, a humbled heart. The humbling of the will must come before you can worship something. It's a bowing of the heart. In other words, it is what we love and we adore above anything else. It's a giving of ourselves. It's a giving of ourselves. It's not one of these things. I'll get to that in a minute. But on the negative side of things, we've seen some things throughout our culture and our society. Some of you are not old enough to remember who Jim Jones is. Some of us oldest know, when you say Jim Jones, you know exactly who that is. He was a leader of a church over in California, was doing the work in a California city, seeing the rich and the poor, and feeding people and doing really seemingly a great work. But he began to turn to a place where he became the center of the religion, the center of what he was trying to tell people. And these people began to follow him and worship him. So he went down to Ghana and built this big complex, and all these people went with him. And when the authorities began to move in, he said he has the juice and poisoned it, and he said for all of you to drink this. And thousands, they died. Because they had this intense worship for him. So there's a negative side to worship when we see things in our lives. I've seen parents, they worship their children. That, yes, your children are supposed to be important. Your children is who God has given us to take care of them and to love them and to raise them. But I've seen where parents worship their children to a place that they'll move heaven and earth. They'll break the law. They would do anything to make sure their children achieve things in this world. You might say, Tim, what are you talking about? You've seen it. You've been on a baseball field? You've been on a football field? I think everything goes out the window when your child is playing on a field, seems like. You know what I'm saying? You know, it seems like it's all principles. Everything goes out the field. And so it's the time that we worship making our children a star of something when we should be teaching them how to surrender to the Lord. We'll sacrifice out of discipline in them. We'll let things go. It's just like we have a worship, a true adoration for our children that says, I'll do anything. I'll walk on anyone. I'll make any excuse. You say, but Tim, that's harsh. It is. It is harsh. I was a youth pastor one time. Trust me. I used to have a saying, it says, I can deal with kids. It's the mom and dads I have trouble with. You know, we used to say that all the time. It's always a joke. It's a youth pastor joke. Now, I love you. Pastor loves you. Pastor loves you, okay? But we get so wrapped up and begin to worship things that God never called us to worship. And it leads us down a path that He never desired for us to go. We worship work. We worship money. We really do. We worship our looks. I'm sorry, y'all. The sniffling going on. We worship our status. Things that gives us something. Just remember what worship is again. It's a bowing of the heart. It's a kneeling of the heart. It's something that we give ourselves to. Okay, it's what worship is. It's something that we give our, just not just a song, just not a song, but it's a giving of ourselves in worship to something. And so for us as Christians, we have to come to the place that we bow our hearts to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. We bow down to things in our life all the time. We worship those things. We worship them. And it leads us to places that we thought we would never go. We thought we would never go. Worship is a kneeling. It's a bowing of the heart. There's a conversation that Jesus had with a very unlikely individual. But for Jesus, a very likely individual, I'm sure. Oh, in John chapter 4, 19 through 26. A very interesting conversation that really sheds a light on what worship is really all about. It's the woman at the well is what we had to call her. And it was a very unlikely conversation for most people looking in. Because she was a Samaritan woman and Jesus was a Jew. And here he is sitting at a well talking with this lady. But it's a very, he talks about her life. He tells her about her life and how many men that she has married. And they have this wonderful good conversation. By the end of it, she runs and tells a village about who she's met. But they have a conversation about worship. In verse 19 of chapter 4, John, it says, "The woman said to him, 'Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem.' And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. But you will worship what you do not know. We will worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks us as these to worship Him. Because God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him, must worship in spirit and truth." Spirit and truth. The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When He comes, He will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am He, the one who is speaking to you." An unlikely conversation that teaches us what worship is really all about. What it's really about in our lives. She had an understanding, and it was a correct understanding. It's all she ever been taught, that to worship God had to be in a particular place, in a particular area. If that was up on in Jerusalem at the temple, or on the mountainside where God's presence once was, is that she knew, and she was correct in saying that we had to go somewhere to worship God. This bodily presence in the temple or in Jerusalem or a certain mountain. But we're really no different at times. For many years in churches, and probably still many, we have taken worship to mean that happens on Sunday morning or Sunday night or on Wednesday night. It would be a prayer, maybe four songs, and then a prayer and an offering, and maybe a special song, then a sermon, and then an altar call. Then we pray, we go home, and we say, "We had a great time of worship today." it's really still kind of prevalent in our hearts and our minds, and it's something that I battle as a pastor, is that we cannot confine worship in a time of just a building. Yes, we come together and we gather together and we worship the Lord. It's part of it. Trust me, it's just part of it. We can worship the Lord and sing praises to Him. But in our mindset, if we think that I have to go to a certain place to worship the Lord or experience His presence, then we're going to miss out on what God has for us. We're really going to miss out. And we never will be a solid a follower of Jesus Christ until we understand what Jesus is trying to say to us today. In verse 23, he said, Jesus is saying, God is spirit. If He is spirit, then God is not confined to things. He's not confined to a room. He's not confined to a pew in a church. He's not confined to those things. God is not contained to a certain place. So listen to me. So when we fight about the sanctuary being holy just because it's a place we meet, it's really going against the very nature of God. Because we have placed a thing that is equate and equals His presence. You can take the walls out and we can still gather. Guess what? His presence is still here. So it goes against the very nature of God if we attach a place or things to worship Amen. Him. Amen. To worship Him. It goes against His very nature. Because this God is a spirit. Jesus is saying God is spirit. And so when we attach things, or we can do only certain things in here, or we can't do certain things in here, because tradition tells us that we shouldn't have to do those things, is we're attaching the worship of the Lord to something that's just sinking sand. I'm thankful today that I'm here with you. I'm thankful today that we come together and we worship. We bow before the Lord and we use things like songs. We use things like a giving of our tithes and our offerings. We use things like going to small group as an act of worship. I believe when a family comes down and they dedicate their baby to the Lord, I believe it's a kneeling of the heart. It's a bowing to His Lordship, that, Lord, here is my child. I'm not worthy of this child, but I give this child to You. I believe these are acts of worship, but it's not attached to a building or attached to a place that we have to be. But I do believe when we come together and we gather together, and what He calls us to, that's when worship begins, as we gather together as a group. But we can also worship in our prayer closet, right? We can also have that moment of a kneeling of our heart and a kneeling of our will in those times together. You know, I can worship when I'm hunting. So I have to go a lot. I have to go a bunch, you know. I'm just going to worship. You know, I don't know why everybody's so upset about it. Some of you like going fishing or playing golf. What I'm saying is that let's don't confine God to things. You cannot. We try, but He's God. And God refuses to be confined to things. And I make a judgment call, you know, through my few travels in different places and churches. You can often see in churches when they have confined Him to a room. Because He's not even there. Not even there. Because it goes against His very nature to be confined to something. It says, I can worship Him in spirit and in truth. Spirit takes place within my heart. A moving of my will to worship, to bow my heart to Him. And out of that, praises come. out of that, I began to sing songs. Out of that, I began to say prayers of that worship of Him. You know, it's out of those things of that worship of Him that I begin to respond to what He's doing. I've been teaching a lot about our hearts. I think I just went out. Y'all hear me? I'm teaching a lot about how we humble ourselves before the Lord. I didn't tore another one up. There it is. I didn't want her to do that.
Did you?
No, not at all, she said. You wanted to go out again, don't you? I'm kidding, I'll move on. I don't know where I was until I slapped myself. Now, you're supposed to wake you up, you know, you slap yourself. But in our worship, it moves us to respond. That's where I was. And so these folks on that triumph at the time when Jesus was walking, was riding into Jerusalem, out of there, hopefully that worship, that praises begin to happen, and the things begin to, they begin to do things that were otherwise they wouldn't do. You know, I've seen the things when church and when I worship of the Lord, you know, that we begin to listen to the Lord, and maybe He calls us to do a testimony that we otherwise wouldn't do. Or He calls us to come and say, I just want to share God's word. Or, I want to do something a little bit different because it's out of the worship of Him. Not because we want to make a scene. Not because that we want the people to see us. But it's a response to what God is doing. So when we bow our hearts, when we kneel our hearts to Him in worship, it opens ourselves up to things maybe that we find, well, I can't believe I'm up here. Oh, I can't believe that I volunteered to help the children. You know, it's out of the worship. And if we do things not out of the worship of Him, we'll stop doing it. We will stop doing it. We'll stop. If we join the children's department because, well, I got some children coming along, but as soon as they're done, I'm done. Or I got some teens, as soon as they're out, I'm through with this. There's nothing wrong with that, but if it comes across, that's the only reason that you want to serve there. So where's the worship? Is the worship bowing before the Lord? Or is your worship because you got some kids that's coming along? See the difference? Because I've seen where the parents served well and they served really good. And then when their children did get out, they moved on to something else within their worship of the Lord. And they responded to that. I'm not saying that's always the case. What I'm saying is we have to be more careful what our motivations are. Is it truthfully out of worship of the Lord? Spirit and truth. But through truth, he said to this lady. It's the knowledge through Jesus Christ that I worship because He is the truth. I worship Him because He is the truth. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so if I'm going to bow my heart before the Lord, I can worship Him in spirit. I'm not associated to just a place, but I can also worship Him in truth. Knowing that He's the truth. Knowing that I can worship Him. Knowing that He's the absolute truth. That what He says He will do, He will do. He's not one way one day and the next day something else. I can believe in Him. I can worship Him. I can bow before Him because He is the true one. In spirit and truth. My question sometimes for us is, we get so caught up in the worship of things. I've been there. That it leads us down roads that God never intended us to go down. Do I think singing songs is worship? I do. I think it's praise. I think once again it's those moments when we out of our adoration, out of our worship of God and what He's done, songs come. David made that clear when he wrote a lot of songs. But just maybe as they took their coats off that day, it was true worship. But not a feigning moment of feeling good at a moment of something going on. See what I just said? In other words, oh, this song feels good to me, so I think I'll sing it to the Lord. And then the rest of the week, there's no worship. Or we could come to a place, you know, like, I cannot wait to get back to church. I like to say, as the church gathers. And if we constantly think of those things, that I can only experience God in a place, I'll say it again, it goes completely against His nature. Because He lives within us in spirit, and we can worship Him in truth. I'm thankful for music. It helps me to sing songs of praise. To sing songs of praise. We say things like, I got to go to church to get my worship on. Ever heard that before? Well, that's a true statement. I'm okay with it. But if we confined it to only that place, again, I don't know if it's true worship or not. It's just not a catchy song or a catchy church or a cool church. Listen to me. Worship is summed up this way, I believe. It's a true bowing of our hearts to the Lord. A true bowing of our hearts to the Lord. And we truthfully bow before the Lord in worship. We're emotional beings. It's going to come out some way. If we're truly bowing before the Lord and our hearts, it's going to come out some way. It says, you know what? For a Doug and a Stephanie on Tuesdays, it's an act of worship when they serve at Cafe Central. I believe that. Because it's not risen out of there, look at me, look at me. It's out of something deep that they bow their heart to Jesus. And out of that worship to Him, it moved them. Count me in there. Count me in. But Dave Martin, he goes to Celebrate Recovery every Tuesday night. Is it something that he wants to be seen about? Most of you probably didn't even know he was there every Tuesday night. He don't make a big deal about it, but it was out of the kneeling of his heart in worship that he responded, and it moved him to say, this is where I want to be. It's the act of worship when we bow our hearts before the Lord that says, when the offering plate comes around, I worship You, Lord, in this gift. Not out of something that I'm supposed to do, but something out of an act of worship, of me bowing my heart to You. What is worship? Let's look at our lives and say, do I truthfully worship? Or do I just do things because I feel good at the moment? I think maybe sometimes the Americanized, Christianized church is we just do things just out of the moment because it just feels kind of good at it, good for the moment. Boy, I like that song, so I'm going to sing and praise the Lord that song. It's okay. But only if it's a response out of the kneeling of the heart to the Lord. Worship. Let's stand.
It is always our hope and our prayer that you are encouraged and possibly challenged by what you hear through our sermons. Hopefully this week you'll take into the week questions about what your priorities are, what it is you're offering your life to. On behalf of Pastor Tim Thomas and the Freedom Church family, this is Pastor James St. John. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.